Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 22nd of January, 2020. On the podcast today, Brian Larkin, CEO of United Oil and Gas, provides an update on the Ash 2 wells production and its acquisition timetable. Also on the podcast, Lawrence Reed, Executive Director of Europa Metals, gives an operational and strategic update in respect of their Toral lead zinc silver project in northwest Spain. Also on the podcast, I have two lists for you, as always, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see top 10 versions of both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Are you tired of missing news about stock market companies you follow? The Vox Markets app helps investors stay ahead by making sure you never miss an important update. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Brian Larkin, CEO of United Oil and Gas. UOG is the ticker there. Brian, thanks for coming on.
Hey, you're welcome. Good morning, Justin.
Yeah, so you've released an update on your Ash 2 well, the Rockhopper acquisition timetable as well, and shares are reacting nicely, and we'll dig into that. But before we do, Brian, it's not just all about this. You've got other things going on, plenty of things going on, actually. So for people not that familiar, give them a summary as to what United Oil and Gas is all about, please.
Sure. Well, United Oil and Gas is an oil and gas company. We are in the process of building a full oil and gas life cycle business, which really populates the full life cycle of the oil and gas business from exploration, appraisal, development, and production. And to date, we've built the business via acquisition of assets in northern Italy. We've also completed the acquisition of Rockhopper's Egyptian business, or close to completing the acquisition of Rockhopper's Egyptian business for $16 million. We have acreage, some exciting exploration acreage offshore Jamaica, and we've also got a UK business. So we've had a busy 2.5-3 years since we IPO'd, and very pleased with the progress we've made to date, and looking forward to continuing that momentum into 2020 and into 2021.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's dig into this. I've seen a lot of people on social media excited about this Ash 2 well. So let's go through the economics. It's looking quite good, isn't it? Because you're acquiring this for $16 million. And as yet, how is production here? What, tell us about the production side of it.
Yeah, well, you know, if you step back for a second, and you know, today we had a very strong RNS out on well test results, which we're very pleased with. But if you step back for a second and just look at these assets and how they performed over the last 12 and a bit months. I mean, we started looking at this opportunity at the beginning of last year when these assets were producing approximately 800 barrels net to the current owner of the assets. And in the last 12 months, that production's actually doubled. So the and what's a key point to that is the effective date of this acquisition is actually 1 Jan 19. So since 1 Jan 19, production levels net to what will be United's interest has doubled. So the assets has performed very well. I mean, when we announced this transaction mid-summer, July time, the assets were actually producing 1,100 barrels and they're now up closer to 1,800 barrels net to us. So they have performed well over that period. And we did say at the time that we believe this was going to be a transformational acquisition for our company. And I certainly see that we're delivering upon that. The assets are delivering upon that for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So currently, so what, about 1,700, you've got 1,716 barrels of oil per day, so close to 1,800 a day, like you say there. And of course, that sounds good, but you've got to look at the economics of that. So how much, you know, what's the margin on this? How much are you making on this?
Well, that was one of the things that really attracted us to Egypt in the first instance, was the low-cost operating environment. Lifting cost is approximately $6 to $6.50 a barrel. So in terms of operating costs, it's quite attractive. It's very, very favourable. Drill costs are quite cheap as well. It's approximately $15,000 a day on our rig rate. So drilling is cheap. Operating costs are cheap, and drilling risk is low. So when you're looking at managing, you know, your shareholders' money and getting the best value for your shareholders' money, you're looking for that risk reward. And certainly, we believe in Egypt, we have managed to deliver an asset that manages the risk reward very favourably for our shareholders. So we're very pleased. And we're talking about revenues for next year, and you've touched upon it, and production levels. I mean, it's important not to forget that we do have an Italian asset that will be in production this year too, mm-hmm. hopefully towards Q3, Q4. I mean, once that comes in too, you know, we'll also see a significant increase in cash flow and barrels per day.
Yeah, yeah. Is there any? Obviously, it's hard to say how much you're hoping to get from this, but like I said, very low lifting costs, but the oil price changes all the time. But, you know, are you happy at current oil level prices at the moment?
Yeah, well, look, I think I've said this before. You know, what we want to see and what we believe is optimum for acquisition and to build a business is in around $60 a barrel. What we found in the past is anything sub $50, people are looking to sell. Anything above $60 and it becomes too expensive. So we've always kind of felt that window of maybe $58 to $70 a barrel is a sweet spot for M&A activity. So in terms of where we're at with the commodity price, we're happy at that level in order to build a business. In terms of revenues, we'll obviously have a hedge as part of our BP facility. So that hedge should protect our shareholders on commodity risk, and more importantly, that hedge is quite unique in that it protects us on the downside, but we still have access to all the upside and commodity price.
Yeah, yeah. And when will we know how much you're making from this, or can you give us a ballpark figure?
No, not yet. You know, it's obviously a highly profitable asset. It's obviously very cash positive. Any free cash, well, the majority of free cash that will be spun out this year will be reinvested in the assets in a really exciting and aggressive drilling program throughout 2020. And in fact, we announced this morning that the rig that drilled Ash has now been mobilized to drill the next well, which will be an infill well. So we have a lot of the free cash will be used to fund the work program for 2020 and into 2021. And we'll see that the real, you know, return on that cash in 2021 and in 2022. But in terms of, you know, forecasts, I wouldn't like to give any forecasts just yet on production levels or on potential revenues. The reality is there's quite a few variables when you're looking at production levels and forecasts and revenue forecasts. And the first one obviously is commodity price. And whilst we have a hedge, we will be protected somewhat on that variable. But also then, you know, we have production and we'd like to just see how production plays out over the next few months before we start delivering or announcing, you know, production targets. We've obviously gone public with the production levels achieved since January, and we're certainly hopeful and confident that those production levels will continue for the rest of the year.
Yeah, but suffice to say, at this moment, you're very happy with how this well is performing, are you?
We couldn't be happier. It's a fantastic result. It's a fantastic result. You know, we've doubled the size of these. We've doubled, potentially doubled the revenue from these assets, since we started looking at them, less than a year ago. Since we've announced the transaction in the summer, we've added another 680 barrels to our production. So, and bearing in mind, you know, I bring it back to what we've said quite a few times, the effective date of this deal is 1 Jan 2019. So all of that incremental income and expenditure, mind you, is netted to United. So, you know, these assets have performed very well. We are very, very pleased with the the production performances, and we're very pleased with to be working with our new joint venture partner. So these are really, really, really good assets. We're very pleased to be at this stage of the transaction, and we're looking forward to completing it now as quickly as we can.
Yeah. And just elsewhere, Brian, news on your other investments, what can we expect?
Yeah, well, I mean, we announced an update in Jamaica a couple of weeks ago. We have an extension on the license there. We have some, we've got some number of interested parties in Jamaica, and the PCJ, the Jamaican Oil and Gas National Company, have granted us an extension to close out those discussions, which we'll do over the next few weeks. And hopefully we moved Jamaica forward during that time frame. Also, we will have, you know, we've been granted the environmental, or we've received environmental clearance on Selva. So we look forward to bringing that into production, hopefully in Q3, Q4 this year. So there's lots happening. And, you know, you tie all of that up with, a well program in Egypt for the remainder of the year, the company will certainly not be short of meaningful material news flow. So it's 2021 will be a great year for United Oil and Gas. You know, we worked very hard in 2020 will be a great year for United Oil and Gas. We worked very hard in 2019 identifying the right assets, executing our work programs, divesting assets, and we're certainly looking forward to 2020, whereby we see the real fruits of all of that work being materialised.
Marvellous stuff. And as always, Brian, just one final thing, or three final things. If someone's listening to this, likes the sound of what you're doing, but are not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please.
Sure. Well, I think it's fair to say we've delivered. We said at the beginning of last year what we were going to go out and do in 2019. We've done that. 2020, we're looking forward to continuing that momentum and continue to develop our assets and create as much value as we can for our shareholders. In addition to that, the second reason is we're now a production-based business, generating significant material cash flow. So as a company, we are de-risked from that perspective. We don't have a huge reliance in the equity market anymore because we're generating our own revenues and our own cash flow. And, you know, obviously, an asset that's producing 1,800 barrels a day is throwing off significant revenues for us and cash flow. Mm-hmm. And finally, we have a strong team. If you look at the caliber of the team that we've got in United Oil and Gas, between the executive team and our wider technical team and support team, you know, we've got all of the right building blocks in place and internal pillars in place to move United forward into this year and next year.
Marvellous stuff, Brian. Good to chat to you. And like you say, lots going on. So no doubt we'll be catching up in the not too distant future. Thanks very much, fella.
My pleasure.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Lawrence Reed, Executive Director of Europa Metals. EUZ is ticker there. Lawrence, thanks for joining me.
No problem. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Now, you've released an RNS today, and it says operational and strategic update. Now, I always worry when I see RNSs like that, because you don't know what's going to... When you first see the title, but before we get into this, Lawrence, for people not familiar with the company, just give us a brief summary as to what Europa is all about, please, if you could.
Lead, zinc, silver resource in an established part of the world, Spain, existing mining region. One of the highest tons global resource to JORC standards that you'll currently find on a junior company with a high level of indicated. And we're now going to be getting on with doing a lot of met work, a lot of engineering work, to basically say this is a highly economic, robust project, because it's not about mining stuff, it's about making margins and generating money.
Yeah. So essentially, this, as I read it, this RNS suggests that you're stopping the drilling and you've got a lot of data there that you want to optimise. So the share price took a dip at the start because it's down about 11%. It's come back a bit now because I think people think, hang on a second, why have you stopped drilling? So why have you stopped drilling? Is this a positive move or what?
Yeah, no, I think it is a positive move. It's a move that's actually based on looking at what we've got, what we're doing, and being flexible. I mean, you talk about your heart in your mouth whenever there's a strategic review. And I agree, because a lot of the times when there's a strategic review, it means we've cocked it up, we've run out of money, and we've just spent all the money in the ground and it's disappeared and we don't know what to do next. However, this is a strategic review because I think it's right that you do these things periodically. And we had lots of shareholders saying, why haven't you got anything out sooner in January? And the answer was, well, we just want to take in some time, make sure operations are all started up correctly, which they are and going extremely well, but also to ask some serious questions about, okay, well, the market's difficult at the moment. We've got a huge amount of data. We've established an enormous amount. We're not really getting any premium whatsoever in terms of any JORC updates, new indicated, etc., which we put out recently, even though it's all been fantastic. So why continue to spend the money when we've got all of this data and news? When what we really want to do now is look at optimizing the flow sheet, looking at economics. People always say they want drilling, but I don't think they always do. They drilling for drilling's sake makes companies go bust, Justin. I mean, that's the sake of it. And if it's not actually achieving anything in terms of market value, and you've got enough drilling, you've got enough data, you've got a big enough resource, then why, for the time being, would we waste money of the companies and shareholders on doing more drilling? Now, that may change, and we're having a look at the current drill holes at the moment. We look forward to announcing the assay results from those, but we're not going to put it into a JORC update report. We're actually just going to announce and talk about those assays independently. So right now, that's where we are. It's cost-effective work that's actually going to add value to the project, and stopping work which isn't adding value to the project currently and is extremely expensive. Yeah, we have a lot of news coming out there.
yeah, exactly. But you're right. When I see a strategy update or strategy review, then essentially it suggests the strategy being employed currently isn't working, so I have to change it. But I mean, you say here, of course, drilling isn't cheap, but you've got enough data, so you think you've got enough data here to generate a kind of model here that will be very viable. You can share it around, and where do you go with this then? After you knock this the data up into something you're happy with, what do you do with that then?
Sure. Well, actually, I'm just going to go back. I mean, the strategy, I wouldn't change pretty much any of the operational strategy to date because we needed all of the work to be done to date. Yeah, it hasn't been received well in the market, some of it, which I find incredible at times, but there's no point whinging about it. But now you're right. Now we're at a juncture where we've got real choices. So now we come to your second part of your question. There's a number of choices. You know, we'll have a look at these assays coming out of the ground, but we're going to be looking at the hydro data, the geotechnical, but the second part, the metallurgical test work, which we've laid out in this RNS today, which will culminate in a second lock cycle, looking at deleterious elements, but also looking at optimizing the flow sheet, which we saw from the first met, which we were very positive about, very happy with, and announcing that to the market. And announcing that, frankly, more importantly, to industry. And there's lots. We've got options. It's a great thing about Tyrrell. We've got silver in there. There's a number of interesting things about Tyrrell as well, in addition to the silver, which is great. But you could see a number of different non-equity scenarios in order to get this project in the development. So I had one email from a shareholder today saying, oh, have you put the for sale sign up? It's like, well, absolutely not. If the right offer came along, absolutely. We'd be stupid not to take it. If there was a JV which we thought would work, which would accrete shareholder value and stop having to dilute and dilute, absolutely. We'd also look at that. But, you know, there's still own company development options ahead of us with the amount of data that we've got. We might need to add to some of it, but we've got enough information, enough independently verified reports on all aspects of the project to now really go out there and be engaging with people and moving the project along. But also, I won't say we're in no rush. Yes, we're always in a rush. We're always getting on with it. But, you know, there's pressure off. We don't need to raise money anytime soon if we don't want to. We could have lots of news flow coming out. I think geotechnical and the hydro is going to be really interesting. Looking forward to the Met. And I think those drill holes are going to be great. So you've got a lot of news coming out. But we don't have the pressure of having to raise money around the corner. Mm-hmm. We've got time to do all the things that we need to do and get this project towards a development phase. But I think getting the Met, getting the geotechnical, understanding all of that, packaging that up a bit more is absolutely key. So it's going to be an important quarter.
Yeah. And so one more thing there. So you say, obviously, the drilling results and the joke, the market didn't seem to appreciate that very much. What in your mind then with the strategy, what will now, that will the market appreciate, do you think? What will move the share price upwards, basically?
It's extremely difficult to tell. I'm not going to lie to you. It's, you know, we put the Met results out, which we effectively... let me explain one thing. When we put a JORC report out or we put the Met results out, the process is always that we take the report, we transfer across the report into the RNS with the company. We get the competent person to sign it off. We get the independent company to sign it off. We take it to the Nomad, get them to sign it off, and we sit it out. And we still get a bizarre, well, it might be something different. They might be trying to do this, might be trying to do that. You know what junior mining companies are like. It's really difficult to tell. It's a bit strange, to be honest. I think doing something with silver, I think there's other opportunities within Tyrol as well we might start bringing out. And I also think as we move forward and bring all of the data that we have into a package, but really understand that flow sheet a bit more. So it's not just the Met, it's all the elements, Justin, and say we're optimizing. This is how it could really work based on the data that we've done, the results that we've got in this particular time. So yeah, basing a lot of the flow sheet stuff on modern mining processing flow sheet techniques. Okay. So, yeah, that would be my answer.
Marvellous. Okay, well, as always, Lawrence, if someone is listening right now, likes the sound of what you're doing here but not yet following the story, just give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Go and look at the silver price, go and look at lead and zinc, have a look at our resource, have a look at our peer comparison, which needs updating on the last presentation, have a look at our very low share price, and we put out a report today saying we're going to be optimizing the economics of the project, and we've taken a number of anti-dilutory steps today to react to market conditions, and you can see a lot of news coming out. A lot of the hard work's already done. Marvellous. It could be a lot bigger, Tyrol, no doubt about that, but a lot of the hard work's already done.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Lawrence, thanks for that, fella, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Brilliant. Cheers.
OK, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are, at five, Enpharma PLC. That's down 4% to 3.6 pence. At four, Hummingbird Resources, up 1% to 24 pence. At three, New Oil and Gas, non-mover to 0.05. At two, Prospects Oil and Gas, it's up 2.62% to 0.133 pence. And the number one most followed company is Hurricane Energy. That's down 1.28% to 26.66 pence. All right, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, New River REIT. New River REIT PLC Q3 company update. At four, it's conditional. Wow, this is a title. Conditional subscription by Greenstone Resources for $12 million US convertible loan notes, approval of a waiver of an obligation under Rule 9 of the City Code of Takeovers and Mergers, and notice of general meeting. They got so long they couldn't fit the actual title in. That's from Sarabi Gold. It's up 1.97% to 77.5 pence today. What's next? It's Europa Metals, of course, chatted to Lawrence there. Operational and strategic update. At three, Asia Met Resources, relocates head office to Jakarta, Indonesia. And also then Peter Bird stepping down from CEO. And number one, most liked RNS, came from United Oil and Gas. And that's the update on the Ash2 well and acquisition timetable, which I chatted about with Brian on the podcast today. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.